The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back. You are joining We the People Radio. There we go. Our sound is a little goofy. All right. The first hour, we were chatting with Hamid Azimi from the Iranian Iranian-American Community of Northern California. It's actually easier if I read it. We learned some history because that's our biggest problem. Here, we either don't know the history or we know incorrect history. So we've gone backwards to try to figure out how to go forward with you. So in this second half, Hamid, it was funny, we were chatting the other day that, well, 2 hours, that's a long time. And I thought, oh, you have no idea how stupid we are about this.
And how fast time flies on
and,
the radio.
And how quickly the time will go. So we did have somebody who had a question in here about Turkey fighting in the ISIS thing. Do you have any commentary on that at all?
I actually do, but
oh yeah, we got to go back to the women too. Sorry, yeah.
Well,
forgive me.
No, that's okay. I definitely want to do
both
to the question that was raised, but I would really like to do, if you don't mind, a little modern history of Iran, and
you know, go for it.
Share with your listeners.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, definitely. What everybody needs to realize, Bill, is that the young generation in Iran, the Iranian society, as I keep on saying that, you know, it's been after democratic change in Iran for over 100 years. This society is a very live, vibrant society. And as, you know, throughout the past history, as even, you know, the Arabs took over and, you know, we were involved as part of the negotiations and, you know, what was going on in the World War II, you know, British forces south of Iran, you know, Soviet forces north of Iran, and our nation has gone through all of that. Our nation has seen, you know, the changes of a democratically elected Prime Minister Mossadegh being overthrown by a coup d'etat, and all of these are in our recent history of this very live, very vibrant society. And when the Ayatollahs hijacked on the anti-monarchy revolution in 1979, with the goal, our goal was to get rid of the monarchy and establish a secular republic in Iran. The Ayatollahs saw that, and as I was sharing with your listeners at the top of the previous hour, the biggest identifier of these Ayatollahs was their enmity with people, with women, forcing women to have, you know, the hijab or the veil that they have to wear, you know, putting it in their constitution and laws that they are not allowed to become president, they are not allowed to become judges, and quite a lot of other restrictions that are in the penal codes of the Ayatollahs. So it was very natural for Iranian nation as a whole to rise against this entity, and it was very natural for a woman to take the leadership because the most oppressed part of the society naturally ends up being the one that has a whole lot to fight for and naturally becomes the leader. And we are, as a nation, very fortunate that we have Mrs. Rajavi leading a group that is called the National Council of Resistance of Iran, which is a coalition of different entities that have got together under Mrs. Rajavi's leadership to empower people of Iran for regime change by the people of Iran and to establish a secular republic in Iran. What Mrs. Rajavi is promoting is totally against what the Ayatollahs believe in. You know, her commitments are to prevent any violation of any type of individual or social rights and freedoms in Iran. She's committed to abolish the death penalty in Iran.
Wow.
She has basically, along with the NCRI, the National Council of Resistance of Iran, the coalition, they have committed to all of the international covenants on the civil and political rights, you know, the UN covenants on elimination of all forms of discrimination against women in, you know, and all of the relevant human rights covenants that are internationally known and recognized. And just the fact that, you know, she wants to promote the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is in total contradiction with the Ayatollahs and what they believe in. You know, they want to spread the Islamic retribution laws, and Mrs. Rajavi and her movement are completely against it. The Ayatollahs do not abide by any of these international covenants that touched on, and they want to, you know, make the world believe that there is such thing as Islamic law that they are allowed to spread in Iran and Middle East. And Mrs. Rajavi is completely against that, and she's committed to bring democratic change in Iran by the people of Iran.
And that brings up a really good point. If they don't agree with international law, how can we sit down and pound out an agreement with them when they're not gonna honor it?
Well, you make most of it secret.
Well, okay, yeah,
that's how you do it.
So you make an agreement, and then tell them they don't have to agree to it.
Yeah.
And they can
police themselves, by the way, because that's such a good idea.
Oh, definitely. You know, we can definitely talk about the agreement and how phony this agreement could be, and the whole issue of agreement. I think, if you don't mind, let me just finish up my thoughts on this human rights, and in the next segment we'll touch on the agreement. Just to go back to what we are actually fighting in Iran, this Islamic Republic regime, the anti-Islamic, a lot of people in Iran call it, because this is not something that people of Iran, recognize as Islamic. They have been putting a lot of restriction on all sort of, you know, all type of different population segments in Iran, ethnicities, you know, minorities in Iran, and people of, you know, different beliefs, any type of dissent or any type of social difference that they see between what they believe and what people are wanting to do has been oppressed in Iran. We have all of the reports for this year, 2015, indicates that we've had at least 700 executions in Iran, and these are been going on during all of these Iran deal months of, extensive negotiations, as they call it. So the West has closed their eyes on all of these. There are 74 types of tortures that have been going on in prisons in Iran. And we will be talking about some of them with, you know, witnesses that have gone through them in our event Saturday night. And this regime has been condemned by the UN General Assembly 61 different times in the last 30 years. 61 times for violation of human rights in Iran. But what is not really being done, and what should be done, is that the case of the human rights situation, the abuse of human rights, the condition of human rights, this case needs to be referred to the UN General Assembly for, and UN Security Council, I should say, for immediate action against these Ayatollahs. Unfortunately, we are seeing something completely different and in a completely different direction. Instead of, you know, are the U.S. government, our government here in this country, our second homeland as Iranian Americans, instead of our administration and government take the case of the human rights abuses to the U.N. Security Council, they are now taking the case of relieving sanctions on Ayatollahs to the U.N. And what happens in case of Iranians and Iranian population is that the little pressure that has been on Ayatollahs in terms of sanctions is getting lifted. As I mentioned in previous segment, when people come to the street and chant, you know, we want democracy, we want to get rid of the Ayatollahs, and they ask Obama, are you with us or with them, they are actually calling for some sort of international support, not in terms of military support and start of another war, but in terms of just knowing that their voice is being heard and echoed and repeated outside the borders of the country. And this is something that I have firsthand experience with it. During the last months of the anti-monarchy revolution in 1979, every day that we had rallies in Tehran and in other cities, people like me and everywhere in the country would sit down, we would sit down in front of our shortwave radios at night, listening to international broadcasts like Voice of America and BBC, just to hear whether or not our voice has been heard and anybody is talking about it. And every night that we heard that the rallies and demonstrations, the anti-Shah demonstrations were echoed in any of these international radios, we would get more energy and more power to go out and demonstrate the other day. And right now, that in our current situation, that is something that is missing. Instead of, you know, the mainstream media and the administration echoing the will and aspiration of people of Iran, that they are out in the streets and they want democratic change, instead of echoing that, to send the message to them that the youth in Iran, we hear you, we are behind you, and we are going to be your voice for your quest for freedom. Instead of doing that, we are, you know, we have our president going to the his press conferences, and instead of mentioning anything about people's will and desire in Iran, instead of mentioning anything substantive about the abysmal situation of human rights in Iran, he is offering, you know, a regional power position to the Ayatollahs. And it was very unfortunate for me to hear the president in two of his last speeches telling Ayatollahs that you come and you make this deal and you will have your place in the Middle East as a regional power. It is absolutely unacceptable to us as Iranians and Iranian Americans to know that the uprising of the people in Iran is not getting supported, and the Ayatollahs, who are the godfather of ISIS, the godfather of the Islamic State, they are being given an opportunity to become a regional power.
So what do we do to change that? I mean,
hold on, we have to talk about that when we come back. I know it's so easy to just buzz through the breaks. We need to take a really quick break, thank our sponsors, and give Hamid a second to catch his breath. We're going to come right back with him, chat more about the situation in Iran, the real situation, not just what we see on the TV. Anyway, lots of information on the website. We hope you'll join us there, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll have an archive up in just a little while, and you'll be able to listen, send it to your friends. We'd appreciate that.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. dam's busted.
Excellent choice, Bob. you're very clever today. You are joining We the People Radio. We are here with Hamid Azimi. He is the communications director for the Iranian American Community of Northern California. And they are an association of Iranians who believe that it's their responsibility to use the freedoms and power in the United States to be the voice of the oppressed people in Iran. What a great idea. They're against the theocratic regime of Iran, believe that Iran should be a democratic, secular republic. And these are all things that we just don't hear enough, Hamid. I'm sure I asked you the other day, when you watch the news, do you just sit there and throw your shoes out at, you know, at the TV?
Well, sometimes you get the feeling that you want to be doing that, but, you know, the fact herein remains that, you know, For a society, for a nation to achieve what they want, they have to pay the price to get to their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at the history in this country, America as a nation has paid its own price to get to where it is right now. And our nation, the Iranian nation, is not afraid of doing that. We are more than willing. And under the leadership of Mrs. Rajavi and the National Council of Resistance of Iran that we talked about, we are more than capable of doing that. Now, Bill was asking, if I'm not mistaken, about what should be done in terms of the policy. Let me just touch on a little recent history of what should not have been done and was done.
It's a good way to go.
For many years, the movement that I support, the National Council of Resistance, and its main opposition group, the PMOI, People's Mujahideen Organization of Iran, were unfairly and unjustly tagged as a terrorist organization by the United States Department of State. It took our movement more than a decade to fight that issue through, you know, halls of Congress and the legal system finally. And the video clip that, Aaron, that you were referring to, and it's on your, the link is on your website, showing some very high level current and ex U.S. officials from both sides of the aisle, you know, from Rudy Giuliani to Howard Dean, from General James Jones, which was the former National Security Advisor to President Obama, to Tom Ridge, who was the first Secretary of State for the United States, to Louis Freeh, who was the former Director of FBI, and Michael Mukasey, who was the Attorney General for the 4th District in New York, if I'm not mistaken, and General Hugh Shelton, who was U.S. Army Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They were all involved in the correction of this error made by the United States in shackling the Iranian opposition group and not allowing it to do its job. Now, we have passed that hurdle now, and, you know, there are residues of that label still available here and there in terms of false information, in terms of, you know, wrong policies and what have you. But at this point, now that we have gone through the so-called negotiations with the Ayatollahs and we really want to take the next step in knowing what to do, one of the biggest things that people need to realize right now is that there was a reason for the Ayatollahs to come to the negotiations table. Their illicit nuclear activities has never, ever been, any part of it, has never been disclosed by the Iranian regime. All of the components of the Iranian regime's nuclear activities has been exposed by the main Iranian opposition group, the PMOI. Starting from 2002, where the first site was, and the program of the Iranian regime's nuclear activities was exposed in Washington, D.C., up until now, there has been over 100 cases of exposures done by the PMOI about the Iranian regime's nuclear activity. The sanctions that we saw was a direct result of these exposures when the international community was faced with the fact that we have this religious dictatorship in a very important geopolitical land in the world called Iran. They are building an atomic bomb. Then, you know, little by little, the pressure, international pressure in terms of sanctions on the Ayatollahs started building up. It was under those sanctions and also under the threat of the Iranian young population pouring out to the streets again, like they did in 2008. It was under those conditions that the Iranian regime came to the negotiation table. So it wasn't from the, you know, position of strength. It was from a position of weakness. What also very clearly describes how weak this regime is in terms of dealing with the popular dissent is the sheer number of executions and public executions they are carrying out. You know, we can just, you know, very generally think about any government that has a position of strength and does not need to make the population frightened. They don't need to carry out any kind of savage and mean, you know, form of punishment. They don't need to have public execution. When a regime does have public execution, more than anything, it shows that it's afraid of the people. It's afraid of the uprising of the people, and if the regime wants to scare the people. So there are all signs and indications that the number of executions shows that the Iranian regime is afraid of the uprising. They were under the sanctions regime, and they wanted to get some relief to be able to buy more arms and do more bad in Iran and in the Middle East.
And by relieving the sanctions, does that help the executions or hurt the executions?
It would definitely hurt it. There's no doubt that it's going to hurt it, because right now, even right now, the news that came out of Iran just yesterday, I believe, the Iranian regime introduced a new missile that they had built. And the president of the Iranian regime, who is supposed to be the moderate and who is the main, you know, party of the so-called negotiations that have been going on, very clearly started talking about how his regime is going to keep on purchasing and selling these arms to what he called their friends in the Middle East, which is just code word for all of these terrorist groups that they support. And this action of him coming out and speaking like that, this was really in complete contradiction with the agreement that they are supposed to adhere to with the international community. Hmm. And all of these remarks show, even right now, that they are not going to abide by any international norm. And that's why, you know, from the get-go, Mrs. Rajavi was the person who came out and said, okay, you want to make a deal with them and give them money? United Nations should have strict monitoring on the cash that is being poured into the hands of these mullahs. Because we know that, you know, the money is not going to be spent on the urgent needs of the Iranian people. you know, the money is not going to be used to catch up the unpaid meager salaries that the workers and teachers and nurses are receiving. The money is not going to be used to provision food and medicine for the populace. And Mrs. Rajavi pointed out that this money, no doubt, is going to be used by the religious leader Khamenei on the Islamic Republic Guard Force, the IRGC, for the fundamentalist activities that they have in Iraq, they have it in Yemen, in Syria, in Lebanon. So that was the clear warning that Mrs. Rajavi made, and now we see that she was absolutely right, and the Iranian regime, the head of, you know, the state, President Rouhani, is clearly today talking about, or yesterday was talking about, how his regime is going to pour this money into selling arms to their friends in the Middle East.
Yeah, so that the old relief of sanctions is going to do exactly what we have been hearing, and that has been fairly widely publicized. We're going to come back in just 2 minutes with Hamid Azimi. You can join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Lots of good information there. Before we get off here, too, Hamid, we've got to be sure and promote your two events that are coming up. I've listed the information on the website, but nothing like hearing it from the horse's mouth, as they say. So we will come right back with Hamid. You're listening to We the People.
Tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be all right? All right, all right. I hear Jerusalem bells ringing, Roman Catholic choirs singing. Be my mirror, my sword and shield, my missionaries in a foreign field. For some reason I can't explain, once you go, there was never, never an
Welcome back to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. All the information about our guest, Hamid Azimi, and his group, the Iranian American Community of Northern California. Hamid, what have we missed? Since we've covered world history.
we have covered a lot, and as you and I talked before, there's a whole lot more to talk about. And right now, I'm just going to take your suggestion and talk a little bit about our events coming up. Our group in Northern California is having the event about the commemoration of the 1988 massacre or genocide of 30,000 political prisoners in Iran. The event is going to be this Saturday night at UC Berkeley's International House, White House, and as I mentioned before, one of our guests would be a survivor of that said execution. She was sentenced to 5 years in prison when she was arrested at the age of 15 by the Ayatollahs for the crime of supporting the main opposition group, the PMOI, People's Mujahideen Organization of Iran. She spent 8 years in prison, and she will be talking about her first-hand eyewitness account of what was going on in the prisons in Iran in the months that led to the massacre of 1988. In our event, we will also have Ambassador Bloomfield, who will be talking about Iran deal and our perspective of what we think as the right thing is to be done. And just to touch on that, Aaron, as we have talked before, our main concern about this deal is not whether or not, you know, this thing or that thing is going to go through. Our main concern is that this deal has been a weak deal. This deal does not close all of the avenues for the Iranian regime to shut down and, you know, be a nuclear-free Iran. As we have mentioned on our website, our desire and goal, and the desire and goal that has been stated clearly by Mrs. Maryam Ajavi, the leader of our resistance, the president of the National Council of Resistance of Iran, is to have a nuclear-free Iran. We have enough oil and gas reserves in Iran to last us for more than a century, if I'm not mistaken, but it's for many years. And we are fundamentally against the nuclear power because of the inherent danger that it has for population and for the environment. And we have seen unfortunate examples of that most recently in Japan, that this type of energy is really not safe. We have other ways, you know, especially in Iran, for harvesting energy from wind and from the sun with the vast number of areas that we have with capability of hosting farms of wind turbines, and also for solar, harvesting the solar power in different areas. And also the Iran deal is going to lift the little pressure that sanction has on our enemy as Iranians, and it's going to help our enemy in Iran. One of the biggest selling points of this Iran deal has been the unreal, you know, horror and danger of the other alternative, which is war.
Mm-hmm.
The president keeps on just talking about if we don't make this, there's going to be a war. And we want to make the point that, no, there has always been and there is a third option, which is regime change by the people of Iran. And if we make that our policy, if we empower people of Iran for regime change, if the U.S. administration, instead of not verbalizing that Ayatollahs must go, if we go back and look at the stated statements and policies of this and previous administrations, there has never been a call clearly saying that Ayatollahs must go. In the recent history, we have heard that about, you know, Libya, we have heard that about other nations in the Arab Springs, where the leaders of West, and especially the leaders in the United States, have come out and say, Gaddafi must go, who was the leader of Libya. You've never heard that stated policy. So back to what I said in the previous segment, what that does is that it does not give enough fuel, enough energy, enough ambition to the people in Iran who need to go out and demonstrate every day until they bring on the system. If you put your place in the shoes of people like me who used to go out and demonstrate and are going out, the younger generation are doing that. If they go out every day and they just don't hear anything about, you know, what the world is thinking about them, their opposition is going to diminish. In case of Iran, we have been extremely fortunate, as I mentioned, with the leadership of Mrs. Rajavi, that we've ended up with a thriving opposition. What we did not have a chance to talk about is, you know, the Iranians who were fighting these Ayatollahs and through a very complicated history. They ended up being in a camp in Iraq. Right now, about 3,000 of them are in a camp called Camp Liberty in Iraq. And because of their opposition to the Ayatollahs, they have been under extreme pressure. They are under constant siege by the Iranian-backed elements in Iraq. And we have not been able to get the administration to put enough pressure on the Iraqi government to lift the pressure off of these Iranian refugees at Camp Liberty, Iraq. That is an ongoing struggle for us, and hopefully next time that there's a chance for me to talk to your listeners, we'll get more into more details about that. So all of these things are related to what needs to happen, what needs to be done by the international community, what needs to be done by the United States government. War is not the danger. The real big danger is getting to bed with the Ayatollahs and allowing them to become a regional power. The big danger is allowing them to continue funding ISIS as a movement that they are godfather of and they started.
So the whole idea that we should relieve the sanctions, sign the deal, and empower these guys does absolutely everything that's against the interest of the people in Iran, the people in the United States, and basically people in other countries too, I suppose.
I completely agree with you. If we look at the international scene and the biggest conflicts that the world is dealing with, the one conflict that has taken the nature of international magnitude is the fight against Islamic fundamentalism and what is called ISIS. And the point that is being missed in the middle of this is that the godfather of ISIS is the government ruling Iran. And that government ruling in Iran, if anybody just imagines that if that government is gone and is replaced by a secular republic that is not in the business of exporting terrorism and, you know, funding Hezbollah and Hamas all the way to Lebanon and, you know, sending their suicide bombers here and there, you know, sending the roadside bombs to Iraq, if all of those elements are stopped by a regime change in Iran, by the people of Iran, we are going to be witnessing a totally different Middle East. And the world is going to be able to deal with this phenomenon of fundamentalism, Islamic fundamentalism, that has become a global threat for everybody in a much easier way. So we strongly believe that our cause in fighting the Iranian regime and making the regime change is in the interest of not only the Iranian people, not only the people of Middle East, but as you mentioned, people all over the world, including the United States. And on that note, I must just pitch what we are going to be doing in front of the United Nations Monday, September 28th.
Hold that thought, and we will finish up the hour with that. Okay, got to fit in one more short break here, and we're going to come back with Hamid Azimi. We are speaking about all things Iran today that are true. Imagine that, a little truth in your day. Join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Why can't we be friends? it's always been a matter of trust.
Thanks, Bob. All righty, we're finishing up the second hour here at We the People Radio. So our last thing, Hamid, is the Organization of Iranian American Communities in the U.S. and the 2015 rally, September 28th in New York. Tell us about that.
Yes, indeed. So the Organization of Iranian American Communities is basically an umbrella organization for all of the local organizations like ours, the Iranian Americans in Northern California. That this umbrella organization covers all of us in all 40-some states that we do have active organizations. As it's our mission to be the voice of the Iranian people, we want to make sure that the world community understands that when people get together at United Nations in September for the General Assembly, the person who is representing Iran, which would be the President Rouhani, is not the representative of the Iranian people. That guy represents a oppressive, medieval, religious dictatorship that needs to be toppled, and the seat in UN needs to be handed over to people of Iran and their organized opposition. In our opinion, it needs to be turned over to the National Council of Resistance led by Mrs. Rajavi. But the bigger scope of things is that there are all indications that the General Assembly stage is going to be used to promote and seal up the deal that the West is trying to make with the evil Ayatollahs. And we want to be out there to oppose that as well and make sure that everybody understands that the United Nations arena should not be used to promote Islamic dictatorship in our homeland. So on that note, we are inviting everybody to join us in front of UN at 10:30 a.m. On Monday, September 28th, quite a few people from our community in Northern California, including me and my family, will be there on that Monday morning to be the voice of the people of Iran, to make sure that the world community hears our voice, that we want democratic change in Iran, we want nuclear-free Iran, we want a government, a republic with complete separation of church and state. We want an end to executions. We want an end to export of fundamentalism and terrorism throughout the region and world. And we want to abide by all the international norms and not by what is called the Sharia or Islamic law. And this would be the main message of our rally. Quite a few people, dignitaries that have been in our previous events. Some of the video clips are on the website link that you have so kindly put on your website, and Bill. You can see that, those dignitaries, most of them will be joining us in front of UN. It will be, as far as U.S. Internal politics is concerned, a bipartisan array of different dignitaries joining us, and the message will be one that will ask for regime change in Iran with the outcome of all of these evil things that are going on will end, and it would be to the benefit of the people of Middle East and to the benefit of the national security of the United States of America.
Well, I think that's awesome. And those are all the things that so many people have. I think we all kind of wondered about these things, but it's not what we hear. So we really appreciate you coming on this morning and unscrambling all of this. It's a complicated place. But for the folks who live on the West Coast, if you can get to Berkeley August the 29th, and there's a registration. Do they have to register for the event, Hamid? I know it's on there, but is that a must?
it's actually for both events there are, you know, registration forms that would help us manage the event, especially for our next this coming Saturday. If they could sign up, it would help us a lot.
Okay.
If not, you know, they are more than welcome to join us.
All right, cool, because there's we linked all your website and the registration form and all that, and then there's a big round circle that says 2015 rally, no to a nuclear Iran, yes to regime change by Iranians for the September event. That'll take you to that page where you can get all the details. So for our folks in Philadelphia and New Jersey, if you're up in New York that day or you have friends, please send them, and we'd love to support you. Hamid, we hope to have you back again in the future so we can learn more things. So please reach
Sounds
out to
great.
Us.
Sounds great. And I thank you and Bill and especially Bob for all the apropos music that you played.
Yeah, he went overboard today. Thank you so very much. And if we get lucky, maybe we'll see you on August 29th.
Hopefully.
All right. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Send the show to your friends so that they can learn about this too.
Yep.
See you next week, folks.
Thanks for listening, everyone.